Now, Joshua chapter number 6, verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. It would do us good to not only lift our eyes, but to focus and to look a little while. He looked, and behold, there stood a man. And I tell you who he was, for I get him a sermon, he was the God man. He stood a man over against him. And look, he had his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Joshua fell on his face to the earth. That's a good place to look up, is it not? I can tell you why a lot of people don't look up, because they're walking too tall. You'll notice them folks that walk high and mighty, they never look up. They can only look down or look out. But those that are humble with the Lord and worship Him, He has a great place you can get, a place that you can look up. I sure am glad we've got somebody to look up to tonight. The Bible said, "And he did worship and said to him, 'What saith my Lord unto his servant?' And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, 'Loose thy shoe from off thy foot.'" I like what Brother David Clemens said. We was eating dinner the other day in Tennessee, and Brother Clemens said, "I went up to Bible college, and they was asking us all to introduce ourselves." And he said they asked us what we wanted to get accomplished out of the school. And said he got down to me, and I told him who I was and where I was from, and he said, "I've got one question I want this school to answer. Was Joshua a one-legged man?" See, he told Moses, "Take his shoes off." He told Joshua, "I want you to take your shoe off." It only takes God to love Brother Jody and Brother Clemens. Say amen. He said, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua, he did so. Thank you for standing tonight, honoring the reading of the Word of God. We've been preaching out of the book of Joshua, and for the sake of time this evening, I'd like to get right into where I left off this morning. And we notice here the arrangement. Joshua has found himself in a hard place. I hope maybe God will unlock some scripture for me that I could preach on the battles down at Jericho, because we all know in our life there are many Jerichos that we face, the wall some 90 foot high. I remember by the blueprints, to give you a reference, our top of our cross to the bottom of the basement, Brother Mike can probably tell you better than me, but I think it's some 80 or 85 foot tall. But here's Joshua seeing a wall a lot bigger than him. It was 30 foot wide. It was something that he just could not figure out maybe how he was going to conquer. There are a lot of Jerichos in our life that, boy, as they sang the song tonight, if we could just wait on the Lord, but isn't it hard to wait on the Lord? We want to do something ourselves to try to do the best that we can. Boy, Joshua has a word for us in chapter 6 and 7. Of conquering our Jericho, but I want to say that God had an arrangement that He took him down to a lonely place and a hard place. Now, just because tonight you're facing great obstacles, it don't mean that you're not right with God. Matter of fact, I've noticed being a Christian and walking with the Lord a long time, those that God used are very lonely. Those that God used, they find themselves in very lonely and low places. So there was an arrangement for Joshua. We ought to be glad that God has arranged some places in our life that we would ever get to know Him like those places would bring Him. You see, if you've never been brought low, then God would never be big to you. I'm glad for the day that God struck me down low and I seen myself. And I'm glad a preacher pointed me to how big that He really is. God's been good to me and I want to bless Him and I want to thank Him every chance that I get. But you'll notice here in this arrangement that Joshua finds himself by Jericho is a place that was very helpless and hopeless. You may be there tonight in your life, and as I've already said, just because you love God don't mean that you won't find yourself in a very lonely place. But I sure am glad that not only was there an arrangement, but we find now in verse 13 that he lifted up his eyes and there was a great appearance. Boy, I noticed that Joshua didn't wave a flag and he didn't shoot a flare, but God took it upon Himself to appear to His servant. Aren't you glad we've got a God that's always on time, every time? And when you don't know what to do, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother tonight. Now, there's a great appearance that takes place in our Bible. I want to say, first of all, the timing of His appearance. The Bible says, as he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn. Now the timing. I want to say in this timing of appearance that faith can count on Him in the time of need. There's something about God that amazes me. You can always count on God being there in the time of need. Boy, I've got a lot of good friends in this life, but there'd be times you'd be busy. But I'm glad that God is never too busy. Me and Parker was laying on the bed this evening and he asked me, he said, "Pop, does Jesus sleep?" I said, "No, son. Jesus never closes His eyes. He's always got them looked toward His children." And aren't you glad that we've got a God tonight that has made an appearance to you in your life? We see this great timing. How many of you, time after time, has God proved Himself to be faithful to you in a very low and a lonely place? The arrangement. Glad we've got a God that loves us. Loves us individually. I was looking as everybody stood tonight. Man, what a good crowd back on Sunday night. And a lot of times we just see the people as a crowd. But God looks at us as individuals this evening. Isn't it amazing? A God so big can be over yonder and here at the same time. Glad I've got a God that good and that big. A God that desires to look in on us. So we see the time in of His appearance. He can always be counted faithful to those that live by faith. Matter of fact, sometimes we think we're waiting on God, but the thing about it may be He may be waiting on you. You see, here they had already taken the mark of the knife, that of circumcision. Boy, I'm glad one day God done a work with a knife of the Holy Spirit on my heart. And He took away that old fleshly heart. And then I'm glad He's given me a new meal. So Joshua has experienced a mark and a meal. He may be experiencing things in his life that he's never experienced until he had obeyed God. So it may not be that we're waiting on God. He may be waiting on us. I think a lot of times we want Him to wave a flag or build a fire, but we've got to walk and go by faith tonight. If you go by feeling, you'll never accomplish much for God. As pretty as it was this evening, you can't tell me that most of the flesh in this building would have rather been on the front porch enjoying the pretty sunshine this evening. So never go by how you feel. You won't get much done for God. And the just shall live by faith. Now this appearance, the timing, But then the truth, you'll notice this, his sword was drawn in his hand. I want to say that our God has never, 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 never lost a battle. Never has he ever lost a battle. Now his appearance, he lifted up his eyes and he seen a man with a sword drawn. And we see the timing of the appearance and the truth of the appearance. But notice the theophany of the appearance. The theophany is a big theological word. It simply means an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. This is not the first time that Jesus has appeared in the Old Testament. You see, he came to Abraham in the tent door and he spoke and told Sarah, said, "You're going to have a child." And she is so old, she laughed. Then it wasn't long that he had come unto his mentor, to Moses. He had met him on the backside of the desert, and Moses had seen a lot of bushes burn, but he'd never seen a bush that had burned and would not burn out. And Moses was called out of that bush. He said, "Moses, Moses." And he said some big words, "Here I am." Oh my, that's a great theophany of the Lord Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. And there he is, Moses and his appearance. And now Joshua and Abraham, the Hebrew children. In the fiery furnace, King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Lo, I see four men loose and walking in the fire." They threw three in there, but God was in there. I'm glad we've got a God that is real and can show Himself whatever we need in this day and this hour. I'm reminded as John the Revelator, he seen him as one that walked amongst the midst of the candlesticks. I'm glad there's a God that walks by His Spirit in the midst of His churches. And oh, I sure am glad He lets His presence be known in the day and hour that we live. They sang a song. They know He got out of the grave. How you know He lives, preacher? Because He lives in my heart. Nobody else could ever done what He's done for me. Honey, I know He got out of the grave because He lives in my heart this evening. The theophany of His appearance. We see that He's came, shown Himself. Watch this. Not only is there an arrangement, God had Him set in a place and there was an appearance, but look at the acquaintance. I love Joshua. The more I study him, it's amazing. I never really paid much attention to the book of Joshua, but I declare it's become one of my favorite Bible books in the Bible. Joshua was a man, you'll notice this, that got acquainted. And look what that he did. There's his fearlessness. This is what he said. He said, "Art thou for us or for our adversary?" He wanted to know what side he was on. You see, there's a lot of preachers today trying to be Joshua and they want to stay neutral. Reminds me, Brother Jake had said something, come on Fox, on the Saddleback preacher. He's going to be a guest speaker down at the Muslim mosque. I can tell you right now, that boy ain't preaching enough to make cornbread get burnt, amen? You say, how come you know that? Because anybody preaching in the pyre and telling folks that Jesus is the way, he wouldn't be the guest speaker at the mosque on Friday night, friend. I'm glad. Praise God. It ain't no neutral ground. You either in or out. You're either saved or lost. You're either heaven bound with the hammer down or hell will be your home tonight. He said, "I ain't neutral. I want to know what side you are." He said, "I ain't here playing church. I ain't playing religion. I want to know something about you. What you hear about." I love Joshua. A lot of folks couldn't sit under him. He'd have too much gas in his tank for you. You see, he said, "I want to know what side." And let me tell you something. A lot of people don't want to offend nobody. Well, let me tell you, this Bible offends. This Bible hurts me and cuts me, but it sure does help me. You know, people, they want a preacher just to tickle their ears and ease their conscience. Come by on Sunday morning and do their duty for the Lord. And they think they want to pay their respects to God about 45 minutes. And if the preacher goes past 12, then he's a fanatic. Amen. But I tell you something about them folk. They get to calling on God. I just wonder, will God say, well, where you been last week? A lot of folk want to use him as a spare tire, honey. God is not used as a spare tire. You don't pull him out of the car and put him on when you need him. We better realize there is no neutrality in this thing of Christianity. You're either in or out. You're either for him or against him. Amen. He said, let the dead bury the dead. It's about time we decide whose side we own. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, it will pay off to serve God in this day and this hour. He said, I want to know what camp you in. Tickles me, these little socialites in our community. They want everybody to be a socialite. Be neutral now. Don't disturb nothing. Let a woman preacher come stand in your pulpit and be a part of the community. Well, they ain't standing in this pulpit because it ain't biblical. The husband of one wife's hard to be a woman. I'm not confused about nothing tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. It will pay for you to draw a line in the sand. What if you went down to the ball game and everybody had on red jerseys? And you mixed and mingled and you got over there and, man, nobody knew what side you was on. Well, I'm going to tell you, not Joshua, friend. He said, ain't no neutral ground, man. I want to know what side you're on. Now, I love what the Lord done. You see, there was an acquaintance. I'm going to say this. If you want to get to know the Lord, He'd love for you to get to know Him. I've never seen him turn down anybody that really wanted to know about him. And he appeared and Joshua said, I want to know something. Said, are you with us or you with them? And look what he said. I asked you to look in there today and maybe look and see something. But I wonder, did you see this little nugget, what the Lord said? You see, not only do we find that Joshua got out in a lowly place, there was an arrangement, an appearance, an acquaintance. But now in verse 14, look at this announcement. Now, I won't be much longer. And he said, nay, but as captain of the Lord's host. You know what he said? This helped me. He said, I didn't come to take sides. I come to take over. Can I tell you that tonight? The Lord's not come. He said, nay, I've not come to be on nobody's side. He said, I've come to be captain. I've come to take over in your life. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? If we could just let Him take over in our life. You say, well, preacher, this acquaintance, he wanted to know him. Yeah, well, with this announcement, there's a revelation of his person. He said something there. He said, I'm captain of the host. Means it was more there than what Joshua could see. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear God. I'm reminded about Elisha. He had a servant. 2 Kings chapter number 6, they looked like they was outnumbered. And Elisha had a servant. The servant looked up and he said, Elisha, I don't know how we're going to get out of this because there's chariots of men every place. And he said, oh, they that, watch this. Oh, Lord, let me help you tonight before we go home. He said, there's more of us than it is of them. And he looked and he said, man, all I see is me and you. He said, lift up your eyes. You know what he's seen around Elisha? He's seen horses and chariots of fire. Could you imagine what he's seen, all that host? I come to tell you tonight, honey, hey, they ain't got us outnumbered. If God be for you, who could be against you? There's an unseen hand that does great and mighty things. Matter of fact, Joshua's fixing to find it out, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag till Sunday. How's them big walls going to fall? I know a man that can. He's got his sword pulled out. Somebody thinks that Jesus is a little meek and lowly man that never said nothing. Let me ask you, what you going to do in the Bible where he went in there and he turned them tables over in the temple, run out them money changers, and he said, "You made this thing a den of thieves." He said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer." Let me tell you something. Jesus was a meek man, but he wasn't a weak man. He stood for what he believed. Liberty Baptist Church, may God help us as a congregation, as Christians, to stand upon what we believe. And now look what he says, and I'll be done. Not only is there an acquaintance, not only do we find that there's an announcement, he's captain. He's in charge. Matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 10, he's the captain of our salvation. There's not only an announcement, but there's an adoration. He fell on his face in worship. I want to say something here and getting done. Don't never make fun of somebody's worship. Because if you'd seen Joshua, he'd probably embarrass some of you. You see, when you worship, he would lay upon his face, prostrate upon the ground. See, this is where we are in Christendom tonight. We've made him the beggar. He's not the beggar. We're the beggar. I still believe what he said, children. Without me, ye can do nothing, is what Jesus said. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we can't go any further as a church. Without him, we can't go any further as a Christian. We've got to have him. And let me tell you something. Somebody better be teaching your children this. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Brother Gerald prayed, "God, thank you for the Spirit." Let me tell you something. A lot of you look around here and say, "Well, Brother Ken, it's bad in here." Well, a lot like on the ark. When there's a riding, it might have been sort of being a little bad in there, but it was a lot better than what was going on out yonder. And no, we can't swing from the chandeliers and run out of the balcony every service. But I tell you what we can do. We can worship Him in spirit and in truth and give Him the right of way. And let Him take over captain of our hearts and of our church. And you'll notice this, and I'm done. Not only is there an announcement, but there's an acceptance. Verse 15. The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot. The place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. You say, "Preacher, why'd he take his shoe off?" Well, it was a custom of that day. If you take your shoe off, it'd show respect. Now, I tell you another thing. One shoe off, one shoe on. It showed him right quick. He couldn't walk too good by himself. Sort of like the old man said, "Joshua, just hop on down there and get it done." I can tell you one thing. If you got one shoe off, that means you're leaning on somebody else. I sure do want to lean on Him and trust Him. God's been good to me. God's been good to anybody in the place. Oh, God's been so good to us that He would allow us to worship Him. Joshua did so. Listen, Joshua didn't come to take sides. He didn't come to ride in your car. He come to drive. He come to take over. If you got that sticker on your car, "God's my co-pilot," do yourself a favor. Get you a good sharp pocket knife. Scrape that stuff off your bumper. God ain't nobody's co-pilot. He's in charge tonight. And I love Him and I praise Him. Appreciate you being here this evening. If you'd stand with us around the house, I'm going to get...